pitch above what are we really mourning for. August 1st. Tonight's year is dedicated, as we continue to unfortunately have to dedicate, for the safety of our soldiers, for the people of Eretz Yisrael. And the Rabbeinu Sholem should help in this time and release the soldiers, and he should continue what seems to be ending somewhat, which, as one news report, as one news station calls it, fair and balanced. So we should have the bracha that the Rabbeinu Sholem continues the opinion in our country, at least, unfortunately not in any other country, but in our country at least, to stay on the side of Eretz Yisrael, and we should give a tremendous yishkoyach to the United States that they are staying with America. I hope people are calling. It's tremendously important because
CNN emails,
right?
Yeah. And also the CNN poll has flipped to a negative, barely, but a negative.
Yeah. So we should continue, and hopefully today, tonight's year, specifically the dealing with Tisha B'Av, will very much touch upon this idea. This year is not only dedicated, but I think will have a tone of what's currently going on in Eretz Yisrael. Certainly no mistake that the Rabbeinu Shalom decided to start this war on Erev Shavuos Batamas, and that it's continuing in this time. This is Rav Asher White said in last week's shiur. So Rav Asher said this is the worst possible time that we could have a war, because we know that the Shefa on the B'nai Yisrael, as we know, we're supposed to curtail our business dealings because we don't have the same hashpa that normally the Rabbeinu Shalom gives us. And we'll see specifically tonight how difficult that has become without the Beit HaMikdash. So tonight's shiur we'll discuss what seems to be pashut, but to me is not pashut, and that is that what are we doing on Tisha B'Av? What should we be doing starting tomorrow night and Thursday? What are we actually mourning for? So many people, certainly when you ask children, they will answer that we're mourning the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash. The fact is that is probably, as we'll see at the end of tonight's shiur, incorrect. And that is not the true focal point of what we are mourning. There is tonight's shiur is basically a compilation of a shiur given by the Siftei Chaim, or Chaim Freelander, who was the Menahel, the Mashkiach of the Panevich Yeshiva, has a tremendous ha'oras on various Moadim, as well as Tisha B'Av and Shabbos. And this is a shiur he heard from his Rebbe, Rav Eliyahu Dessler. And so it's a very, very powerful one. And as well, we'll be sharing some insights of the Rav, as well something I heard from Rabbi Sachs, and as well something from Rav Asher Weiss. So we'll hopefully be able to all put it together. So in this shiur, the Siftei Chaim wants to bring this unbelievable Yalkut Shimoni in source number one. Tonight, for those that, in honor of, I'm not sure what, but I made the font very large, so they should be happy. When it's Hashkafa Shia, so I can make it large, because I don't have, all the little halachic sources to quote. So he quotes this unbelievable Yalkut Shimoni in Eicha that we're going to read tomorrow night. So this is the Yalkut Shimoni. It's a very long Yalkut Shimoni. I've really just taken a few portions, and it's truly unbelievable. Source number one, Amru B'Shach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, La'achru V'Beit HaMikdash. So when the Rabbeinu Shalom was getting ready to destroy the Beit HaMikdash, Amar, Kol Zman She'ani B'Socho Ein HaAvyonim Nogim Ba. Whenever I am in it, meaning whenever the Shechina is present in the Beit HaMikdash, it is impossible for the Goyim to touch it. And then he continues to say, so until I decide that it's time for me, Kibayachal, to leave this Mokom, this physical building, that will be the only time the Beit HaMikdash will be destroyed. And then Miyad, so when he decides to leave, Hezhikot Ben Yimino, Bechfir, Lacharot, Shnemer, when he quotes based on Sukim that he left, the Osa Shon Nichnas, that's when the Goyim came, and Lahechol Visarkua Baish. It was only at that moment that the Rabbeinu Shalom decided that the Shechina will be leaving the building, that made the Goyim have the Zechus, I should say, really, that they were able to destroy the Beit HaMikdash. Kevan, So when the Ribbono Shalom actually destroyed the Beis Hamikdash, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shuv Ein Li Moshav Baretz, he says, I no longer have Moshav. So this is a difficult line. Right? I don't have Moshav. So Moshav generally would mean that he doesn't reign, Rachman al-Islam, which isn't true, Baretz, Kol Aretz. I don't reign over Eretz Yisrael, the entire world, Lo Shali, who Ella, right, because I've taken my Shekhinah. So it means that we'll understand there's something diminished in the Shekhinah, and therefore his rule is not the same. Then it says, Ba'osa Shah Ba Matoron, which is V'nofol upon him. The Gemara tells us who is this Matoron, is either, most probably, it's a Malach, or it says the Shemo Kishem Rabbo, so maybe it is actually the Ribbono Shel V'nofol upon him. He fell, the Bacha, and he cries to Ribbono Shalom, the Omer Ma Sisi, what did I do? This is why I think it's the Malach is the more incorrect interpretation. The Gemara talks about this. Asisi, Sheshrati Shechinasi, Lamata Bishvil Yisrael. So the whole job of the Malachim is to promote the Shekhinah, is to promote the Mikadosh Shem Hashem, and to bring it into the world. So you've taken our job away. What are we going to do? Right, and this Malach is crying, and he says, "Now the Bnei Yisrael shechato chayzak lemekom arishon chasusham. We've gone back to the beginning. It's like I've done nothing. We have no chef anymore. And what is going to happen? Shehaisaschok lumalim laolak lahabrius. It's going to be a joke now, right? The Jewish people are going to become a joke to the nations." And so he continues this tirade of what's going on here. And then the miyad halacha kadosh baruch hu malachi asharis. He takes the malachim with him. Again, kibiyachol holds their hands, and he says, "Look at the Beit Hamikdash. Kevin Shiral Beit Hamikdash. Amu bevada izehaya." They see, this was definitely my house, Zehayim Ruchasi, this is where I rested. Right, but then, Shabol, Evyoinim, Sham, V'osu Kiritzona. But they've now done what they wanted to do, what they've always wanted to do. V'osu Shai, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Bocha V'sok. V'omer B'ni, Heichin Hei. At the same time, the Ribbono Shel Olam cried, and Soik, he laughed. He was Sameach. The Amr b'ni Heichen Heim. Right? So where are they who, Kohani, Levi, where are the Kohanim? Heichen Heim. Adre Heichen Heim. Mayate. Right? So where are they? Shetichzuru b'shuva. V'lo Eviyasam Amr lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yirmiyah. So he says, you see what's happened here in Yirmiyah also. So these few lines will explain. So the first thing we have to go and explain, and then, by the way, the Medrash continues, the Alpha Shimoni continues at the end, goes and asks all the different Avram, Yitzhak, Yaakov, Moshe, David, right, goes on and on to ask what happened over here, why we weren't zochet to this. So I want to take this piece by piece, which is what Rav Chaim Freelander does, and to understand what exactly is going on in this unbelievable Medrash. And as he will end off, as we'll see, This Yalkut Shimoni is not just to tell a story, right? To tell something so that we should read this on Tisha B'Av and we should get scared and we should... No. There's a profound message. So the first question is going to be, what is this business of the Ribbono Shel Olam saying, I decided when I leave the Beis HaMikdash, that's when they're going to be able to destroy it. What exactly is this talking about? The Gemara tells in Sanhedrin, source number 2, something quite unbelievable. Ova Rava. This is certainly one of the Gemara's that Sadik Vav on the days that we can and should read. The end of this Gemara Nebuch is the unbelievable story of Zechariah. That when Zechariah's blood was boiling, and so it was Nebuchadnezzar wanted to know what was going on. And they said to him in the beginning it was the blood of the Korbanos. Nebuchadnezzar. So that was what?
Chief executioner.
Executioner of from chief. Oh, right, okay. So, and then what happened? So they brought all the animals, they killed all the animals, they compared the blood, it wasn't the same blood. And then they brought the Kohanim, and they brought the children, and they killed, what was it, 94,000, right, as Gemara says, something like that. Till they killed 94,000, and he said, okay, they finally said who it was. He said, this is what it's worth it. The blood was boiling. Why? So we'll get this idea. So this Gemara here tells us what happened. Tain, Tulas Mea. So they brought over, in the time of Titus, the soldiers brought over 1,000 hammers and different instruments to breach the gate of Yerushalayim. Right? That's when the three-week start. So this was, we think, maybe we don't think of it appropriately, so we might think of it and say, okay, so big deal, new, I've been to the, so what, so if it was closed, so what do you need? You get a chain cutter and you open it. No. They came with 1,000 to open it. They knew this wouldn't be so easy. Sidula Nebuchadnezzar, right? Cool. So what happened over here? They all came, all with the intention to first break the gate. They weren't able to do it. But then comes along, and the decision was brought down that they were able to do it. There was one hammer left, and that hammer, all of a sudden, Kiviyachol and an ace, after 1,000, broke the gate, and that's what obviously let them into Yerushalayim and destroy the Beis HaMikdash. Zok Titus, this is a great pat on the back for me. Finally, it was a good hammer. So the Rebbeinu Shalom says to him, no. He says, no. Baskol came out and said, Titus, don't pat yourself on the back. It was this Yalkut Shimoni. I decided to leave. That's why you're able to come in. No other reason. Right? They tell the stories. It reminds me of the stories in 1967 when they interviewed Arabs. So we think that the Arabs at least had some minute amount of being civil, and that how come they didn't destroy the Kotel? So they told stories over them. They tried to, right? They brought bulldozers and all the like to destroy them. They couldn't do it. I tell the same story about the Or HaChaim HaKadosh. The Or HaChaim HaKadosh is buried on Har HaZeitim. For some reason, they also wanted to destroy. You know, they made many of the graves into toilets. So when the Arab tells the story that this was his job to knock over all the gravestones, and there was one gravestone he couldn't, the Or HaChaim HaKadosh. It's a tremendous peyrish on the Torah. Actually, people have asked me, because my shir is advertised as Or HaChaim, so they asked me if I give a parsha shir. So the Or HaChaim, so they couldn't destroy it because of the level that he was on. So the same idea. They had no luck until the Rebbeinu Shalom decided, then that's when the Beit HaMikdash got destroyed. Only at that time. That's when they were zoicha is not the appropriate word, but to take this building away. So Zuck, the Sifsei Chaim, he says, so what happened over here? So the Rebbeinu Shalom basically said that there were two Batei Mikdashios, right, really. There's one of Ruchnius and one of the Gashmius. So it was a physical building. And there was one that was really what we would call the Shechina, right? There was a physical building that anybody could go ahead and build. But if the Shechina is not there, so it doesn't really help us. So it was at the time that we lacked the Ruchnius, that it was just too much already, that we lacked the Ruchnius, that the Rebbeinu Shalom decided that the physical building had to be destroyed. But it wasn't really the fact that the physical building was destroyed that really mattered. It was the tzimtzum of the hasaga of the hashgacha of the Rebbeinu Shalom. The kesher that we had between the Rebbeinu Shalom and Bnei Yisrael, what made us atabar chartonim kol olamim, was that we had the Beis HaMikdash. What did that mean? Because that was the makom of what? As we see in source number 3, source number 4, in Shemot, v'yasuli mikdash v'shachanti besocha. The Shechina says, you build me a Beis HaMikdash, you build me a Mishkan, that's where the Shechina is going to reside. So we have a little nechama nowadays that we are told that our batei midrashos and our batei knesios, so the Shechina is there. Anytime 10 people join together, the Shechina is there. But certainly it's not what it was in source number 4. The same idea. then we were on Yom Kippur, and then when we brought Kavanos, right? V'chein yata la'oil moed, hashochein itam besoch tumasam. Right? Ki'ilu, kiviyochel, the Rebbeinu Shalom sits with the blows that are matame, right? And makes him tahor. That's the Shechina being with us. That's what we are lacking. Hashkacha on what we do. And it is that lack of hashkacha that we don't even realize that's really what we're missing. We're missing the Shefa that the Rebbeinu Shalom had on each individual Jew, different than any other nation. And because we don't know what that Shefa is, we don't understand because we never had it, so we don't appreciate it. That's why it says the line in Yalkut Shemoneh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shuv, Ein Li Moshe Baretz. This is a Sikha, I may ask the Pasha the question. Rebbeinu Shalom just said, I'm going to burn the Beis HaMikdash. So that leads to him being able to say, I have no chef on the Aretz. I'm not Moshe on the Aretz. I'm not Earl Rule. What he's saying is that it's it. The Shekhinah is gone, so I don't have that Kesher anymore with the Jews the same way that I had. The same Shefa that I had. The connection is lost. So therefore, what we're missing on Tisha B'Av, what we're missing in general in our lives, is certainly the fact that we don't have the Avodas Beis HaMikdash, and that we don't have the Kohanim and the Levium. But it's so much more than that. It's that we don't have the way to energize ourselves. Right? The famous line, which you appreciate, is the line that Rabino always used to ask. So Rav Aaron Bina, the Rosh Yeshiva of the Tiva Aryeh, formerly of Yeshiva HaKotel. So he said that why is it that the boys, they always come back to the yeshiva, right? So I was Zoicha, I went to the Israel, and then I came back I came back for January vacation. Then we had, I don't know if they ever do this anymore, they had a long Elul month, where YU was off until after Sukkot. I went the whole 2 months there to sit and learn. He said, well, what's going on here? So we actually, Rav Katz said this, the Rosh Kolov. So he said, it's because of we need to energize our batteries, right? We need to go to Eretz Yisrael, ink Torah towards Eretz Yisrael, right? I remember one of my first letters to my father when I was in Eretz Yisrael was this basic idea. My father certainly agrees with me. That for some reason, we don't understand what it is, something about Eretz Yisrael, it just makes the learning a lot better. So a story about, I forgot who it's told in the name of, that whenever he had a Shver Tosos, so he would write it down, what the Shver Tosos was, and these are the Tosos he saved up till when he got to Eretz Yisrael. Because then when he got to Eretz Yisrael, he knew he'd be able to sit, and be able to sit and learn. So clearly there is that Shefa in Eretz Yisrael, but it's so much smaller now than it was. So also I remember when I came home, unfortunately, I had to come home for Pesach that year. And I went to a hotel, Mount Airy Lodge, Oliver Shalom, and they had a panel to discuss going to Israel for the year, right? This was before anything, Intifada. People were against going, we shouldn't learn in Eretz Yisrael. So in those days, and probably still today, I was a very chutzpahdik person, kid, and I thought I was basically the same age, I was 18 years old, so I could fight with a 30, 40-year-old person, didn't matter to me. So there's some man that got up, and he was going on this rampage, I should send my kid to Israel, right? This was like so much before the Intifada. He didn't know, you know, he said, I heard there was a stabbing once in you know, like that was this is still when you were walking through the shuk back and forth, nobody cared. So I heard there was a stabbing, I should send my kid to, let him learn in Queens somewhere, what's the difference? So that, I don't know, I got up and I said, well, there's a difference. He goes, have you ever sat and learned in Eretz Yisrael? I said, I guarantee you sit in Eretz Yisrael, there's just a difference. I don't know what it is, I can't explain it. I'm sorry, I admit that. I can't explain the difference, but there is a difference. There is a Shefa. So there is certainly a Shefa, we shouldn't take away from that. But it's not the same. We shouldn't say, oh, the Shechanti B'Sochem, so we have our shuls, right? Don't worry. Chas V'Shalom. That's what Tosos says, beautiful Tosos, in Bava Basra. In a few weeks, we'll lay in Parshas Re'eh. I only know that because my nephew's bar mitzvah is in 2 weeks, and I've been learning with him, and part of the learning, the deal of learning, was I guess I helped write his drasha. So we were discussing in Parshas Re'eh, the line of talking about Maisa Sheni. So the Pasuk says, Laman Tilmud Liras Hashem. Why did you bring Maisa Sheni to the Beis HaMikdash? Right? We read this all the time. Aser Taser. So this is where we get the mitzvah of giving Maisa. Most probably we get it from Maisa Sheni. It's probably not from Maisa Arni. So Shailun Halacha, is it Min HaTorah? Right? This is one of the first shiurim I think I gave. I don't even think I gave it for this year. This was one of the first times they asked me to speak in Beth Abraham. It's a beautiful inyan to research. There's so many svarim written about it. So the question becomes, so how do we treat Meiser money, right? So if you have an account like Yankee Berger, so he holds his Midoraisa, right? Because he wants you to give as much as you can. You should give all your Meiser money to stock, and it's a tax deduction. But more than that, though, there's a big shilas. So if you're going to tell me that it's Meiser oni, it's Lozeichel Maisa Ani, you got a problem. Why? It can only be given to Stucka for Ani. Well, that's going to preclude. Don't tell all the yeshivas. Unless the yeshiva is going to have a special fund, you're only going to give it to the scholarship fund. Right? But if you're giving, let's say, to Magen David Adom, so is that really going to poor people? Do you consider that? You have to ask a Shaila. Is this money going to poor people? What is it going to exactly? To give to a soup kitchen? Oh, you're right to die. Aye, but if it's Meister Sheni, what was Meister Sheni? Why was Meister Sheni brought to the Beis HaMikdash? Zok Toiflis in source number 5. Beautiful idea. The person brought up the Meister Sheni in Yerushalayim. It could only be in Yerushalayim. Because why? He saw the Kedusha Gedola. There was a tremendous holiness. The Kohanim were Oiskim, were busy with the Avoda. Haya Makavin Libel Yoisi Liras Shemayim. Not the Kohanim, him. Ordinary Joe would go up. He saw the Kohanim doing the Avodah. So he would be Makavin Libo. Right? He would energize his batteries because he would see that this is the way, Lira Shemayim, to fear Hashem. As the Pasuk says, L'man Tilmud Lira Hashem, that's exactly what it was. Maaseh Sheni was bought, why? So that you should fear the Rabbanu Shalom. Go to Maaseh Sheni and be day Talmud. How important is Maaseh Sheni? It brought a person to go ahead and learn more. Lefisha Haya Omed Yerushalayim. He was Mamash Omed. He was on the Chaymas Yerushalayim. Achi Yochel Maaseh Sheni Shalom until he finished it. V'hayuroi Shekulam Oiskim B'malacha Shemayim V'voidus. He saw everybody was doing the right thing. They were doing for the Rabbanu Shalom. Right? The people sitting and learning. The Kohanim were learning when they weren't doing Avodah. Then he was a Makave Lira Shemayim Va'uskim Batayra. So that if you believe the second idea, which is really what we most probably is a Shita, it's a Maisa Sheni. Oh, so then you could give Maisa to anything that helps promote the Yiras Hashem. So that any stalker would probably be okay. Furthermore, you could ask the famous Shiloh, wait a minute, what can I give to something that will promote to advance my Yiras Hashem? The Shiloh asked about a person who wants to take a year off and learn. So he's a very nice idea, except he has no money. So he goes to his, right, this was asked, I think in the Shailos Tshuvas, Be'er Sheva, I think he asked this question. What would the Shailos be? The more modern day Tshuvas, they quote it too, the Sitz Eliezer quote says, what would be the idea, right? He says, okay, I give every year, when I worked, I was able to give $10,000 to Staka. So can I not give Meiser this year in order to keep that money so that I could sit and learn for a year? Sitting and learning is going to promote my, so it's very possible, depending on if you hold this to rights, there are and minhuk, that could be so. If you go that far to say, that was the reason. We're asking you to give Meiser to promote your Yiras Hashem. A person who gives money, it promotes the fact that he's doing something nice. But again, imagine what we're missing. That's what we're missing. It's not as much as the physical building there. It's not as much as the avoda of the Beis HaMikdash. The Shechina promoted this idea, this Shefa, to be able to see what was going on in the world. And that's what we're lacking. So the Gra has a beautiful idea. The Gra says that in source number 6, the Gemara tells us in Chagiga, he says, Kotsuf, Echad Omer, so there was a Machloikis. How many wings, so we always think about it because we're very skewed with our Western civilization, how many wings does a malach have? Right? So, okay, first thing we're right, malach has wings. Machloikis, six or four, sheish kenofim le'echad, because of right, but another place is arba upon him. Which one is it? Lokash, it's not a question. Not a machloikis in Nevuah, Yeshaya, Yechezkel. Lokash, comes man shemitha mingdashay kayim, comes man shemitha kayim. When the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed, the Malachim were snipped. They snipped off two of their wings. They only had four. Zok de Gra, what is the importance of this idea? What were on these wings? Unbelievable. He said each wing had on it the line. The line was, Baruch Shein Kivod Malchus HaLi'olam Vo'ed. Right? We discussed this in previous years. Baruch Shein Kivod Malchus HaLi'olam Vo'ed was the ultimate line in the Beis HaMikdash. We replace Baruch Shein Kavod today. It's so important that we stop saying it. We have to say it quietly, right? Because the Malachim don't like us to say it. Why? Because we shouldn't have the zchus to say it today. Because the Kavod Malchuso is not in this, is not in this world. The replacement of Baruch Shein, right, is Yehishmei Rabba. Zuck, you listen to my shirm. The Zuck of Schwab says, as many others, that Yeheshmei Rabba Mevoirach, Li'olam Li'olmei Almaya, saying Yeheshmei Rabba, V'chein, this is why an Ovel says Kaddish, to be Mekaddish Shem Hashem, right, in the name of the mace, so he brings the whole Olam to say B'yachad Yeheshmei Rabba, even more so, when it used to be the proper halacha, when one person would say Kaddish, it was that one person who would have the schut every day to bring the entire tzibur to say Yeheshmei Rabba. What did it say? So you had Baruch Shem, Kavod Malchus HaLi'olam Vo'ed. What was taken? What was sniffed? Zok de Gra. Baruch Shem was kept, Li'olam Vo'ed was kept. Baruch Shem, Hashem's name, will always be. That's true. What was taken off? Kavod Malchus HaLi'olam. The Kavod of the Malchus, Gone. That's what was taken away from us. Therefore, we daven every day that the Kavod Malchusecha aleinu b'mehera. Right? That's what we say. Aleinu. Right? That Hashem should bring back the Malchuso aleinu b'mehera. The Kavod Shemayim. That's why one day, so Yom Kippur, so we are able to say that. We're like Malachim.
Why would it be more like Rosh Hashanah?
No. I'll tell you why. Because on Rosh Hashanah, you're 100% right in your thinking that we are going to recognize the Malchus Hashem. Because we have to be very careful that there's a fine line over here. We shouldn't come from this year and say, oh, the Rosh Hashanah, okay, I learned today, there's no Shefa. He doesn't have the Kavod Malchus, so he's not in this earth. And therefore, I can do whatever I want because he's not here anymore. No. We take Rosh Hashanah to realize that he is in every action that we do. He is in every action. Where isn't it? The Kavod Malchuso, the Kiddush Hashem. There's a tremendous amount of Chil Hashem nowadays, right? When the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed, Chil Hashem was rampant. That's what was taken away from us, right? That's what really the Sialta Shemoni is getting at. So it was taken away, and on Rosh Hashanah, so we are supposed to reaffirm the fact that we believe in Malchus Shemayim, not about Mashiach, not even about Tshuva, by the way. But it is Yom Kippur, when we're like Malachim, when we're on this high level, in a way, this Shefa comes, for one day, comes to us. Right? Because it's an unbelievable day. Right? There's a Rebbeinu Shel Olam, Machafer Rebbeinu. Wow. It's not much like back to the Beis HaMikdash. We don't have a Kohen Gadol, but we have this tefillos, that are able to bring to us the zchus of being the Machafer Kol Avonos. Clearly we don't deserve it. It could bring us that zchus. That's an unbelievable thing. And therefore, that's possibly why we're able to say Baruch Hashem. So, let's go a little bit further. So, this idea, the Gra says, interesting, the Gra would say this, right? It's more Chassidish. But that the two wings are taken away, and that symbolizes these two wings, so that significance of those two wings missing is the Malchuso, that the Rebonish on the Kovod of Malchus. The Chil Hashem is rampant nowadays. So the Sifrei Chaim says as follows, let's just read it outside. The Beit HaMikdash We'll turn the page in a second. Beis Hamikdash lo noyed rak l'mokom avodas hakorbanos. Shall yidei zocha adam la'akriv yisvarech li'ofim prati. A person personally was able through the korbanos to bring himself closer to Ribbono Shel. The Beis Hamikdash the ikar hayat sinor hashefa she'al avodas. Right. That was the model of bringing shefa to the Olam. He quotes that this was the idea of Shlosh Pam Shema Yireh Kol Zechorecha. The reason why, when we had the Beis Hamikdash, we had to go up 3 times a year. So the Gemara tells us in Chagiga, Kidech Sheba Liros, Kach Ba V'Yiros. We went to see, the Ribbono Shel Olam Kiviyocha went to see us. L'Hakriv, L'Hizkariv, L'Hakodesh Baruch Hu. L'Hagish, L'Chush, L'Amu L'Fnei Hashem. Again, 3 times a year to recharge our batteries. To get this Shefa, to get this energy to continue to understand that the Ribbono Shel Olam is Moshe al Kol Ha'aretz, and he controls our lives because of the Shefa, the special Shefa he has on us. He quotes the Ruach Chaim of the Ruach Chaim Volozhina, and he says that why did the Ribbono Shel Olam give us those 10 special Nisim that we learn about in the Beis HaMikdash? Lo Dia Kol HaNisim Haya Kidei Laharos Yisrael Es Hanagos Hashem Yisparech Im HaAdam. That Hashem is with us. Okay. Churban brought Silka Shechina, Yoren Hesel Kol HaOlam, She'ein Royim Es Hashkocha So Shel Yisparech, Nischarva Makom. Right. So, on the next page, so we have two quotes in the Sifsei Chaim. First quote is, in source number 7, Omnam Gama Kodesh Baruch Hu Metzam Simsa Shefa Liolam. Ein zeh simsum mitado. So we want to answer the question, why is it that the Ribbono Shel Olam, we said, cried and laughed? Mistama, we think that he should have been crying, right? But he was crying, so we know that the father who has to give a patch to his child, so the father, it hurts the father more, hopefully, it hurts the father more than it hurts the child. And the Ribbono Shel Olam still is with us, and he should have been crying and saying, listen, I didn't want to do this, but come on, you deserved it. So what was the laughing over here? So he says, this is really in the name of Rav Dessler, Ein zet simsu mitzadu yisparech. Ela kol yisparechu mitzad atzmo, mashpia b'chol pulas alo shum simsum. When it comes to the Ribbono Shel Olam being on this earth, being, having shefa on everything that happens, he's totally there. But, hamikablim, we can't accept it. We don't understand. We're not able to, because of some sort of cloudiness, that we're not able to accept it. We don't see it as well. Right? This is something that's kiyadua, that we don't see nisim l'nefloys that happen, ma'aseh shebechol yom that happen. We don't see it the same way, and we don't understand it the same way. Right? And he explains this in the name of the Ramchal as well. So he says, Moi v'Rabbi, quotes in the name of Rav Dessler, a very good mashal. Hamashal zos liadam hayoshev v'veito. He's sitting in his house. V'yashemes moyer b'chutz. Right, like today, 110 degrees outside, and there's no sun in his house. How come? Because his windows are clouded. Right, he's got dirt on the windows. So don't tell me that the sun's not strong enough to reach his house. Right, he's got all the shades. So he's got the tree sim on. So don't tell me that. How come there's no sun in the house? Because the sun is not strong enough to... No, it's that I have to do something in order. I have to uncloud it. That's what our job is. Fine. And then he ends off this piece by saying as follows. We know the famous line, Kol dor she'eino nivana beis hamikdash v'yamav me'ol ha'kotzev ki'ilu hu his chuyu. That a person who doesn't build the beis hamikdash in yamav is like he destroyed it. So this is a line that everybody comments on. Well, what does that mean? So he says as follows. All these stories I've been telling you until now, this whole Yalkut Shimoni we're trying to explain, is not L'saper Lona Sipurim. Right? These are not stories. Sesame Street stories. El Lamdo S. Right? What we should be doing in this time. The Tafkid. Tafkido B'yom Emelo. Amot Zerach Lios Hatsar V'Bechi. What should we be crying about? The Godol Chil Hashem Hanoira. Because we lack the Vekus Hashem, we lack Kiddush Hashem, that's what we're missing. And there's a tremendous amount of Chil Hashem because of it. When we say they're laughing at us, I mean, you don't have to look farther than what's going on in this world now, and you step back for a second and try not to be biased and see the condemnations and see the articles that are being written, even in the United States, against Israel, and you say, Mamash, it's unbelievable. This is exactly what the Nevuah is talking about. There is, by the way, an element of schok here. I personally look at it all the time, and I do get an element of schok, not on the level of Rabbi Akiva, but of the idea, this is what the Navi talks about. This is what we're told will happen. We have to sometimes accept what we're going through. We have to accept that we're in Golos, and accept that it will be unbelievable that nobody's condemned what Hezbollah does, but they condemn what we do all the time. To the point where reports came out today that this whole thing that happened in that town is probably totally a farce, right? And they're gonna, the next few days, they bet they'll prove that it is. Guess what? You think the UN's going to take back the condemnation? No. You think anybody's going to remember about it? No. And that any, you know, just, I mean, there's a million stories you could tell. But it shows that there's a totally a double standard, and there is. But we should recognize, yes, we have to do a shtadlus. And we have to write to the papers, and we have to let people know that it can't be like this. But this is what we're told will happen. There's going to be a double standard. We deserve a double standard. We're in Golos. The Shef is not here. There's a Chil HaShem in the world. We deserve Chil HaShem because we don't have the base of Mikdash. But there has to be a Bechiyah on it. It doesn't have to be a physical Bechiyah, although that's a high level. But there has to be a Bechiyah Belibo, recognizing what we don't have. And if you don't have that Bechiyah, then you deserve that evil, the base of Mikdash, is not around. And that's what we have to work on during this time. We have to work on the fact that we don't have the schutz of having the Beit HaMikdash. That there's Chil HaShem. And that we have to feel a sorrow for there being Chil HaShem on this world. And that there's no Shefa. And that our lives are not the same because of that. There are times, though, that we have to recognize what the Ribbono Shalom gives us. And that there are times where we're able to see the Shekhinah so clearly and so beautifully, and that we have to recognize those times to see it. I've been very touched over the last few weeks and I'm sure just maybe because I'm older, but listening to the speeches of Ehud Olmert, clearly not a firm Jew yet, but we quoted last week something that he said, quoting the Navi, and this week He talked about that soldier who, I'm sorry, his name escapes me, the firm soldier from Ely, who was in his 30s, had a family, two kids, a firm soldier. And they go to the hand-to-hand combat in Lebanon, and he with his plugah, right? The difference between every army in the world and the Israeli army is that they lead, right? The sergeant leads. And he meets Hezbollah, and they throw a grenade. So nobody knows what's going on, except this, I mean this facetiously, but this crazy soldier all of a sudden says, Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. And he jumps on top of the grenade, kills himself to save the entire plugah. Zuck Ehud Olmert, unbelievable. He said, Eza Neshama, that has been brought back to the Ribbono Shel Olam. This Neshama that the Ribbono Shel Olam brought, that we were able to be zoicha to bring back, that's the Kiddush Hashem. That a firm soldier would kill himself, a Kiddush Hashem, the Shema Malchus, and not only kill himself, but that the story can be told, and that everybody knows that he said, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Right? What follows that? Ribbono Shel Olam, Baruch Shem Kevod Malchus Aliyah L'Voed. Look what we're doing for you. That's this Nechama. That we still see times where there are people who are able to take that. I mean, who in the same situation would do anything similar than just be scared and let everybody die? But that a firm soldier to do this, it's mamash unbelievable. Dafka during this time, this is exactly what we're talking about. Say Shema Yisrael, right? Oyna v'achrab, everybody should answer. All the other from people, Baruch Shem Kavoy, Machusoy. We see the Ribbono Shel Olam. This is exactly what we don't have. Somebody to see the Mekadesh Shem Hashem Barabim. Unbelievable. Rav Sacks quoted this beautiful idea that the Rav expounded on. In source number 9, so we say in Tehillim, and I intest, Mizmor Lasof, a song of ascent. Elohim boy goyim benachlasecha tumus heichal kachechosh shimulis yushalayim liyim. The Rebbeinu Sholem came, a song of ascent, right? The Rebbeinu Sholem brought goyim into the heichal and destroyed the Beit HaMikdash. Zot the Rav, what's going on here? What? This is a Mizmor. This is a happy? This is a song of ascent? Right, the Eben Ezra here quotes it, saying, what's going on here? The Tosfos says it, the Tosfos of the Kedushin. Lach Lamed Aleph. Source number 11. Mizmor Lasof. So he says, Shemikvazeh Levad Dorish Mizmor Lasof. Kina Lasof. Tekina, Tekinos. Just say Kina Lasof. Mizia Leh Vedorish Amar Asof Shira. Al shechila kolish baruch hamaso, ala eitziv elavonim. He took out his fury on what? On eitziv elavonim, on trees, on stones. Shebebeso mitoch kach. He didn't take it out as much on Bnei Yisrael. He didn't kill all Bnei Yisrael. He didn't destroy Bnei Yisrael. So the Rav, a beautiful idea. This is why. Rebbe says Rasul Akor that he wanted to uproot Tisha B'Av. He didn't want Tisha B'Av. What does that mean? So before Shem say he didn't want to destroy Tisha B'Av. He wanted to make Tisha B'Av the 10th of Av, because he didn't understand the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed starting from Chatzos until Friday morning, until the next day in the morning, until the 10th of Av, until the afternoon. So why are we starting it so early? Zuch the Rub, that's exactly why. Why is it that the highest level of Avelus, Ma'amish, the highest level, right, as Rabbi Neuberger pointed out, we have to be so careful, specifically from the entire day, but specifically from tomorrow night until Chatzos, not even to greet anybody, right, to the point where even if someone greets you, so you nod your head, certainly not a time to talk about anything else besides the Korban, right? One of the reasons we'll see in a second we don't learn Torah is because we have to concentrate only on the Korban. So the Rav says, well, this doesn't make any sense. The most difficult time, the time where Avelus Mamish can't wear tefillin, if they sit on the floor, is not even when the Beis HaMikdash started to burn. And it's only when it starts to burn by Chatzos, what do? Then we start, we put the paruchas back on, we sit on the chairs, we put tefillin on. He says, that's the lesson. Mizmor Lasof, yes, it's a song. Because we are pointing out that the strictest time is when? The beginning of Tisha B'Av. When did the Eitzim V'Avonim burnt? That's not as important. It's important, but that's not the focal point. It's not that the Beit HaMikdash is destroyed. We are not mourning the loss of the building. We're mourning the loss of the Shekhinah that left. Zot the Rav, a beautiful idea. We're missing the serenity that we had. Zekeinu Zekeinu, Zechariah says, that children are going to be in the streets dancing together, singing together with Zekeinu Zekeinu. So what? That's the idea. There's going to be that idea when the Mashiach comes. Right? There's going to be a serenity in the world. And finally, one of my favorite Divrei Torah of Asher Weiss says this many times. I think he even repeated it this week again. The Klusenberger, he says over in the Klusenberger. The Gemara tells us in Bava Metzion, source number 12, Amru Chachamim v'lo Peshua. Amru Nevi'im lo Peshua. Right, Lama of Daras. Why did we are zoicha to be kicked out of the land? Acha Pirshu Hakadosh Baruch Hu. The only time the Rebbeinu Shlom gave the reason why did the Beit HaMikdash be destroyed? Why? V'yom Hashem al Zvotim es Torasi. We left this Torah. Asher Nasati Lifneihem. Amar Rabbi Yehuda. What does this mean? Shlo Bircha B'Torah Tchila. Right, the famous line that we didn't say Bircha Satorah. Zok the Ran, source number 13. What does it mean? Shlo Bircha B'Torah Tchila? Can't be. Yodea Mi'umkei Alev Shlohayu Mivarchim B'Torah Tchila Kolomar Shlohayu HaTorah Chashuva B'Neya. They were sitting and learning Torah. It was a great time of Torah. There were tzaddikim there. That's what it says. Tamidei Chachamim Oiskim. They were all sitting and learning. But they didn't know the importance. It wasn't chashuv b'neihem. Hayu oskim ba lishmor mitochach mizalzim b'rchosam. Wasn't important. They wanted to learn because they wanted to continue their intellectual pursuit, but they didn't understand what it was. That's lo bircha b'tarit chila. Zot da'alshach. The Gemara tells us in Yuma. The Gemara tells us in Bava Metzia. Why was the Beis Hamikdash destroyed? The Beis Hamikdash was destroyed. First Beis Hamikdash, Kimel Avemus. Second Beis Hamikdash, Shnei Tchinam. What is this Gemara telling us? That's why it was destroyed. Oh, and because of lo bircha b'tarit chila. Furthermore, the Alshach says, unbelievable, is that what bracha did they not say? They said birchas haTorah. This is amazing. They didn't. So we would say, the Gemara tells us, which bracha is midoraisa? Asher bracha b'ani mikol ha'amen. Oh, so they must have not said asher bracha b'ani mikol ha'amen. No, not true. It's not that they said asher bracha b'ani, it's that they didn't say v'harevna. Right? They didn't say v'harevna. Doesn't make sense. Look, the Alshach as follows. They didn't treat the Torah as important because they didn't understand what the Torah was about. What does this bracha say? V'harivna. It's saying, V'siyamcha makes it a kulon yadei shemecha, l'amiso secha lushma. So, what does v'harivna mean? Hashem should make the Torah sweet. Sweet. That's what they didn't understand. Lama ozo aretz. The Alshach says this is the most beautiful part. The reason why we were kicked out is because when the Torah was still being learned for the right reasons, we did the Gimel Averis. People were doing terrible Averis. They were saying Chinam. The Rebbe Hashem said, no, that's singing and learning Torah. They're learning Torah. Once they stopped learning for the right reasons, that's when the Beis HaNes was destroyed. Shalbircha b'Torah Tchila shows the importance of our learning and the importance of the harevna, that it has to be sweet Torah. And the bracha that we give our children is, right, Rav Osher always says, he says what, most brachas don't have two requests in them. This has two requests. You should sweeten the Torah, and you should give over the Torah to our children. Right? A bracha for our children should have Torah too. He says, no, it's the same bracha. Because the only way you can give Torah over is the harevna, for it to be sweet. Therefore, he continues and says, when it comes to Eretz Yisrael, what do we say? Eretz davach chalav v'davash, a land flowing of milk and honey. But when we talk about the Torah, what do we call it? We say davash v'chalav tachas l'shonech. Because when it comes to the Torah, you need to have the sweetness first. Without the sweetness, nothing. So what we learn tonight, I hope, will have the shefa of understanding what Tisha B'Av is about. Tisha B'Av is about mourning for not a physical building, not even as much about, and take this with a grain of salt, I don't mean this, we have to concentrate on it, but the idea that the Ribbono Shel Olam is not with us the way he used to be. And therefore, there is a tremendous amount of bechiya that we have to have b'leiv to understand that we weren't zoicha to the Torah. We started off with the Yalkut Shimoni. It was only because we deserved the Shechina to leave us that it left. But there is a tremendous amount of nechama, as the Maharal tells us, of simcha, because the Shefa is here. The Shefa is here. We just have to have the schus to deserve the Shefa. And therefore it's something that we could work on. Not even when we deserve that Shefa. We all in our own ways certain times have this chus of having Shefa that the Rebbeinu Shalom gives us great things. But to have that all the time, have the Shechina with us all the time, so that's something that we have to work on. And that's what we're missing when we don't have the Beis HaMikdash. The Rebbeinu Shalom should give us this chus that the Chil Hashem Yal HaShemayim should stop. Should be Moichet Dima Kolponim to the point where Kiddush Hashem is back. And it shouldn't be Kiddush Hashem al yidei somebody who has to die al Kiddush Hashem. But it should be, as the Ribbono Shel Olam promised us, that he should build the Beit HaMikdash, Korov Mamish, and that we should be zoicha to see the idea of the Kenev Zekenos playing in the streets, should be zoicha to be able to see the great bracha of Schoik to come back, and that the Malachim should have the full Kavod Malchuso back with them. And the Kavod Shemayim should be back on this earth, and in that time, There'll be no more war. There'll be no more sorrow. The Ribbono Shel Olam should be zoichet. Bring us to the Beit HaMikdash in the Heir of Yamenu. Amen.